Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Probably start reading tonight at verse number 9. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, it said, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I want to preach just a minute tonight, if God will be our help, on this thought, a motivating force, a motivating factor. Amen. It is a force, but it's more of a factor. Amen. A motivating factor. We look at this and we begin to see God is speaking to us. And he says in verse number 9, he said, "The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." He said, that's where the Spirit of God begins to come in. That's where the Spirit of God begins to work. And that's where the Spirit of God begins to approach into us. Amen. It's in all goodness and it's all righteousness and absolute truth. Amen. And when we begin to get the goodness and begin to get the righteous, praise God, it'll be because of the truth that God's given us. The Bible said that the Bible will make us free. And when you're free in the Lord, praise God, you're free indeed. I'm thankful for that, praise God, because the precious word that speaks to us. And he would go on and say, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Amen. He said, what is acceptable in the eyes of God. What is acceptable to him? It may not be acceptable to the world. It won't. Let me just rephrase. It will not be acceptable to the world. But praise God, if it's acceptable to God, it'll be okay. Amen. Because that's what makes a difference in our lives. That's what transposes into something, praise God, that we used to not be. Amen. Hey, listen, I don't believe there's any one of us in this room tonight that's the same person that we used to be. Now, there's probably none of us. If I'd ask for a show of hands, which I won't, there's none of us that have arrived yet. None of us is where we could be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Say amen or oh me. Praise God that we can all stand to grow up, to draw closer to the Lord. It's always a place to move up closer to Him. Amen. But He said it's proven that acceptable, that what is acceptable unto the Lord. And having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. The unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we see this. Now what that word reprove, I told you before, it means to bring to light or to expose by light. Amen. We can take the Word of God and we can tell people the truth. Amen. Now, there's a whole lot of people would rather have a lie. But for me, praise God, I'd rather have the truth. Amen. I want you to tell me the truth. I don't want you to lie to me. Hey, even if it's going to hurt my feelings, tell me the truth. Hey, man, my feelings, I'll get over that. Hello? Hey, man, our feelings, we get over, praise God, having our feelings hurt. But praise God, we need the truth that we can press on for the cause of Christ. Amen. That it be reproved, that darkness would be reproved by the light. For it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. He said, those things that's exposed by the light, praise God. He said, we ought to just leave them alone. You don't keep rehashing those things and keep bringing them back, praise God. Let the light shine on them. Let the light illuminate in them. Let the light show folks where they're at, where we're at, where you're at, where I'm at. And praise God, and move on for the glory of God. If we ain't careful, Brother Jason, what we'll do, we'll let the devil keep taking us back to what we used to be, and we'll never attain to where we could be. Amen. He'll keep pulling us back and sucking us back and trying to tell us how sorry and no account we're. You know, if we just admit that, say, you know what, devil, I am sorry, no account, but praise God, I serve a good God. The Lord come to me, and He helped me, He saved me by His marvelous grace, and He's making me in that He'd have me to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. But He said, but all things that are reproved, in other words, are exposed by light, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. He said it takes light, praise God, to get rid of darkness, doesn't it? There's a lot of darkness in our lives, some of our lives for years. But praise God, one morning, one evening, somewhere, the light of God began to shine on you, praise God, began to shine on your heart, helped you realize where we were, what we were, how we were, and God Almighty, through the Holy Ghost of God, began to move upon our heart and saved us by His marvelous grace. That's the light of God, praise the Lord. And that light don't just shine for a moment in time, but praise God, it shines throughout, Brother Robert, eternity. It shines forever to those who will believe. Amen. Who accept that great light from God. Because that light is what makes manifest. That's why he said we need to rise up from death. We need to rise up, praise God, in the newness of life, praise God, and into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus. And he said, Christ shall give thee light, verse 14. Amen. The light is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, there's no light. Amen. That's what's wrong with the world today, that, praise God, they've taken Christ out, praise the Lord, and now they've got a religion with no Christ. I want to say a religion with no Christ is a religion with no light. Amen. Because He is the light of the world. He said so Himself. Amen. You take the Lord out, praise God, it's just darkness. So He said what we need to do, praise God, is realize that get past the circumstance and redeem the time. He said redeem the time because the days are evil. So He said it comes time when we begin to redeem the time. We begin to buy it back. We begin to take it back and take it under ourselves, praise God, so we can press on for the glory of God. So that we can tell somebody else, we can show somebody else, so we can love on somebody else like somebody loved on us. I thank God for those old saints of God that used to pray for me. I mean, they used to tell me the truth, used to teach me in Sunday school, Miss Jean, Miss Buster showed me, praise God, that there was a God out there. Maybe nobody else loved me. Maybe I thought nobody else cared for me, but they showed me that they was a God and they was a Savior that loved even me. Amen. Praise God. They showed me compassion. They showed me love. You know what they did? They redeemed the time. They bought it back, praise God, and they took that time for me to show me the love of Christ. Amen. That the light of God would shine on my life just like it did on yours. Amen. He said we need that. Why do we need that day? Because the days are truly evil. We're living in evil times. He was on the news tonight, and there was some people a guy was driving down the road, and all of a sudden just pulled a gun out, just boom, 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 just shooting at a car driving by. I mean, wickedness. I mean, why would somebody, I mean, how could you be that wicked? People said yesterday somebody just walked into a crowd, pulled out a gun, and just started shooting. How could anybody be that wicked in their heart, just kill people for no reason? It's wickedness. It's of the devil. Now they want to pack it off on the gun. Amen. That's the craziest thing ever. If you get in your SUV and you're driving down the road and somebody's on the sidewalk, you're up on the sidewalk, run over and kill them. It wasn't your SUV that killed them. It was the driver behind the wheel. Amen. We need to begin to focus because the days are evil. People are evil. Praise God. I said a while back, and people saying, well, you know what? They're mentally ill. They're sick. You know, they're not. They're full of sin. They're demon-possessed. They're full of the devil. What we need today, praise God, is a good exercise of the Holy Ghost of God in hearts to show them the wickedness of their ways and the goodness of God's. Amen. I said that, say this, praise God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we could all be in that same predicament. We could be just as crazy and full of the devil as they are. But thanks be to God, there's a God of heaven come to where we was when we couldn't reach up high enough to get hold of Him. Praise God, He reached down to where we was, got a hold of us, and snatched us up out of that mess, put our feet upon a solid foundation where we can begin to build for Christ. Get us ready, praise God, somebody, make us somebody going somewhere. Amen. We got a hope now, youngins, a promise in the Lord. Because somebody redeemed the time. Because somebody realized that the day was evil. Amen. Praise the Lord. But He said we don't need to be fools in this world, praise God, unwise. But said we need to be wise in the Lord. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. If there's ever been a time that the church needs to understand what the will of the Lord is, it's the day and hour that we live these last days of dispensation of grace. We need to know where the church is. We need to know where we are. I need to know where I am. You need to know where you are when it comes to the Lord. That we're understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord, number one, is that we love one another. Amen. And we cannot love one another. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, we can't love each other until we learn to love Him. When we begin to love Him like He loved us, then we can love one another. God begins to make that difference in us. You know what's wrong with our people today, our children, our young'uns, our family members? The reason they can't love us, the reason we don't have fellowship like we ought to, is because we don't love the Lord. You say, preacher, how are we going to fix that? Praise God, we need to start loving Him supremely. When we start loving Jesus, praise God, magnifying, lifting Him up on every hand, praise God, folks begin to see that and they realize, praise God, there's something about this. There's that peace and joy, praise God, that we sung about a minute ago. There's that hope that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, from knowing that light from heaven, praise God, that when it starts getting dark around you, that light shines, praise God, most brilliantly, and we can see that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. Praise the Lord, we begin to see a place and a purpose and a plan of God. He begins to minister to our hearts. Amen. You say, preacher, how do we get there? We begin by trusting in the Lord. Amen. By the Spirit of God. Now, there's spirits in this world, ungodly spirits. Amen. There's a spirit of wrath. Amen. Praise God, where men are pouring out their wrath on one another, not even thinking about the Spirit of God, that God's wrath. One day it's going to come. Amen. God's going to say, I've had enough, praise God. He's going to come on this world. But praise God, I'm glad as a child of God, I'm going to go out of here. Amen. Before that happens, you're going to go out of here. Amen. Glory to God, we're going to go be with Him where He's at. Amen. But there's a spirit of wrath in this world in men. There's a spirit of amazement in this world in men. Amen. And that spirit, praise God, that moves people to do things. But I want to see, praise God, the night the Bible tells us the motivating factor in the Lord, in the God's people, is the Holy Spirit of God in us. Praise God, making a difference. Amen. You remember when the disciples at Pentecost, they come out of the upper room, they was full of God, they was full of the Holy Ghost, and they went out and they was praising God and magnifying the Lord, and then people looked around on them in Acts chapter 2 verse 23, I believe it was, and they said, hey, listen, these fellows are full of new wine. Amen. 9 o'clock in the morning. They said, these fellows is drunk. Praise God. I tell you what's a good thing. You're drunk in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, at 9 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Praise God. You get up with Him. You walk with Him. You talk to Him. You get ready with Him. Praise God. You go to work with Him. And He's there when you get there. Praise God. And you just rejoice, even though it's early in the day. He said, these fellas is full of new wine. Amen. Praise God. And you know what they were saying? Now I'm talking about the motivated factors. They say, hey, listen, what's got a hold of these fellas is some wine. Said, these fellas done God in the wine. That's why they're acting peculiar. Amen. Praise God. But he said, hey, it wasn't the wine. Now see what happens. Strong drink is an influencer. Amen. Now if you get to drinking strong drink and you get in your car and you get to driving down the road and an officer pulls you over and he gives you one of them sobriety tests and then he's going to write on your little piece of paper that he gives you right before he stuffs you and cuffs you and throws you in the back of his car, he's going to say that you were under the influence. Amen. You know what it means to be under the influence? It means that something's got control of you. What's happening in the world today, there's a whole lot of folk, and the motivating factor that they have is something's got a hold of them, and it's not God. Amen. Praise God. I like it better on this side of the aisle, don't you? I like that motivating factor, the Holy Ghost of God that lives in my heart. Praise God. Somebody can come along and say, praise God, to believe her. We're under the influence. I want to say, yeah, praise God. We ought to be under the influence more now than we ever have of the Holy Ghost of God, where it's real in our hearts, and it's real in our lives, and it's real in our homes, and it's real in our churches, and it's real in our country, and it's real in our elected officials. Praise God, is the Holy Ghost of God influenced by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's what's wrong with America today. There's no God in us no more. Amen. Praise God. We need the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. The difference between that drunkard, amen, is he loses self-control. Amen, his influence ain't right. He's influenced by the wrong thing, so he loses self-control. And the sad part is he doesn't, when they get that situation, they don't even realize what's happening. See, that's the way the devil works. He's real subtle. He just eases in real slow. And it don't matter how long you've been partaking of that drugs or that alcohol or whatever that you're under the influence of. He'll take you to a place, praise God, eventually, amen, where you're under the influence, where you're under the control of that substance. Hello? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody ever seen a drunkard? Amen. What's wrong with them? They're out of control because they have no control. They're being controlled by the wrong influence. Amen. But a believer, praise God, when they begin to become a born-again child of God, praise God, they come under control of the Holy Ghost. Amen. They receive self-control, you might say, through the Spirit of God. He begins to make that difference in them. If it wasn't for that, we might be apt to do anything. That's what the world's doing. They're chasing after everything. Paul tells us over in Galatians chapter number 6, or chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16. He says this to the Galatians. Now, we just read what he's told you we need to do in Ephesians. Amen. We need to realize where we're at. We need to realize there's a light from heaven that wants to shine, that wants to drive away, it wants to be true to us. But he says and tells the Galatians in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, he says this. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So what takes us in the wrong direction? The lust of the flesh. Amen. So we can't give way to the lust of the flesh. We got to give way to the Lord. In verse 17, he said, "For the flesh lusts us against the Spirit." Now he tells us here, Paul says, this is where the problem is. And said, and the problem is in the flesh that we live in. But the problem with that is, listen, young, we can't get rid of our flesh. Amen? It's a capsule in which we live in this world. It would be nice just if we had a zipper. And when we come to ourselves and the Lord, praise God, we could just unzip this old flesh that we live in, cast it aside, praise God, and have a new body. Amen. Have a new life, praise God. But it don't work that way. We get saved in this world, praise God, we still live in this old flesh. And that's what Paul, he said, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. That old lustful flesh. It chases after things. Amen? It desires things. It wants things. It makes it, that gives it different feelings. We're a nation, we're people that run on feelings. I'm glad, praise God, tonight that I can feel the Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad He lives in my heart. I'm glad I can feel Him because I know Him. Amen? But He said, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now listen to what he says, and these are contrary to one to the other. Now what, if he says they're contrary, that means that they're not really compatible. They don't go together. They don't fit well. Amen? So one or the other is going to have control. One or the other is going to be that motivating factor, that dominating factor in our lives. We have to decide, you have to decide, praise God, which one that's going to be. God in His Word, in His truth, He gives us the information that we need to make an informed decision. But it's up to you and I to say, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to go with God. I'm just going to ditch the flesh. I'm going to quit trying to satisfy the flesh. I'm going to quit trying to please the flesh. And I'm just going to try my best to please God. There's a satisfaction in that that's out of this world. He said, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, everybody, I believe everybody in here tonight would like to be pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Would like to be absolutely pleasing to the Lord. But he said, because of this controversy that we got going in us, he said, it's difficult. He said, but if you, he said, but, I like the buts. Watch this, verse 18. He said, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So what Paul tells them here to the Galatians, he said, if you're in the Spirit, if you're working for the Spirit, living for the Spirit, trust in God, he said, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, praise the Lord. He said, you're not serving the law, you're not serving the flesh, but you're serving and seeking God. Amen. Makes the difference. He said, but if ye, us, be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Amen. In other words, you're not bound down by the flesh of this fleshly thing, this world, the do's and the don'ts and the cans and the can't, because the Holy Ghost of God's going to take us in a way that God would have us to go. Amen. But said, now listen to what he says in verse 9. He said, now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these. Now Paul lays it down here to the Galatians. He said, these are works, for this is what the flesh does. Amen. Now we don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear this. The world don't want to hear this. Our government absolutely doesn't want to hear this. But he said, these are the works of the flesh. Adultery. Amen? He said, that's cheating on your wife. Amen. He said, fornication. That's relationships outside of marriage. He said, it ain't supposed to be. Amen? You know, I believe that in the world we live in today, people shacking up all over the place. They think God changed his mind. God ain't changed his mind. You can't prosper in that environment. Amen? Uncleanness. Now, that uncleanness, that's immorality. That's lewd actions. That's incontinence. That's not able to contain. Chasing after things that make you feel good. Hello? Amen? We live in a world of lasciviousness. That's just loose living. It's all around us. Amen. Just doing the old hippie thing, just doing, they said back in the early 60s, just do what feels good. Amen. It don't matter that it's sin, lasciviousness, idolatry. That's putting other things before God. Hello? Adultery's putting things before God. Witchcraft. Witchcraft. Now that's a bewitching. People that bewitch, people that use a art, praise God, of delusion. Witchcraft is something that God frowns upon because it's wickedness. It actually comes to having a relationship with the devil. Amen? They're empowered by saying that power don't come from God. And he said, hey, listen, did you remember what happened to Saul? Saul got to wonder, and they said, boy, it's going to be bad. Don't look like you're going to have a chance of this. And Saul said, well, listen, said, I want to talk to somebody, but Samuel's dead. So he said, hey, go. He said, find me somebody, someone. He got this woman, this witch, and she conjured up and conjured up Samuel to tell him. And boy, he thought he'd get good news from Samuel, from the other side, from the side of the dead. But praise God, Samuel come up and said, boy, you're in a mess now. He said, wasn't there a God in heaven, a God in Israel to call on that you come to get information from this witch? And you know the results of that. He went out to the battlefield, and him and his sons all died, perished. Amen. At the hand of an almighty God, an angry God. Amen. Not only witchcraft, but hatred. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of ill feelings in this world. Amen. Boy, we ought to get rid of that hatred. It'll eat you up like cancer. Amen. Praise God. He said, not only is there hatred, he said, but there's variance. That's a disagreement. That's like disagreeing with the law, disagreeing with what God says, disagreeing with what's right. Amen. Praise God. He said, then there's not only is there variance, he said, but there's emulation. Amen. That's like putting yourself above others, lifting ourselves, say, you know what? I'm better than you are. You sit back here and just mind your business. Let me run. So let me tell you what to do. Let me be the big person here. Amen. Trying to excel above others. The Bible says we're supposed to esteem ourselves lower than our brother. Supposed to lift others up above us. Amen. The wrath, the strife, those go together. The seditions, that's rising up. That's what they. That's what that old Barnabas done over there. Or Barnabas done over there. Or what was his name? Yeah, that done over there in the jail for sedition, for rising up, for causing an uprising. That's why he was there. But Jesus took his place. Amen. Praise God. We were rising up. We were contrary to God and His Word. But praise God, Jesus took our place. The heresies, those things that we do that's unscriptural. Oh, we can make a religion out of them, but that don't mean that they're right. Amen. Praise God. They've got what God says is right. And what's unscriptural, praise God, it's heresies. He said there's envyings. Amen. So much envy in the world. You see it in preachers, you see it in singers, you see it in lay members, you see it in families and homes and relationships. Have these envyings. And then you have murders, sometimes because of the envy. Amen. Killing each other. And it don't have to be a murder like we think about it. It can be murdering them by words, murdering by looks, murdering by hard feelings. And then there's that drunkenness that we talked about a while ago. That drunkenness, being in excess. He said drunkenness and revelings. That's just plain partying. Getting out there and doing things, praise God, it's contrary to the Lord. Living for the devil. He said, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that ye which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? He said, if you live like this, if you live for the flesh and the lust of the flesh, praise God, he said, you can't expect to see heaven's gates. Amen? You say, preacher, that's not very comforting. You know, we think we'd like to be able to do what we want to do when we want to do it, praise God, and then one day just march on into heaven smiling with the pop and the blow gum. Amen, praise God. There's a motivating factor in our life, praise God, which is the Holy Ghost of God. And when you truly get born again saved, He takes these desires away and puts better ones in us. Moves us, praise God, with a force that's a whole lot better than anything the world has to offer. So we see, this ain't the first time Paul's told people about this. This same message he brings to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 12. He brings this same thing up, and he said, those that live in this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, and such were some of you, but. Amen. He said, such were some of you, but. Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let me just read that to you. Amen. He says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He said, something moved in, praise God, and took and began to make a difference in you and I. Amen. Now, the devil would like to hide this from you so that you don't ever know what it was. But praise God, God wants it manifest to us so that we know that it was a gift from God. She said, all things are lawful unto me, and all things, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul said, praise God. He said, listen, said, God Almighty has moved upon my heart, but the Holy Ghost of God is directing my path. Amen. He said, I'm not that man that I used to be. So we see what God's talking about here in Ephesians. He said, listen, said, we need to be filled and we need to be controlled, praise God, with something besides what the world has. You know what happens to a drunkard? They lose self-control. But what they have is an artificial happiness. An artificial happiness. And I've told you before, happiness depends on what happens. So an artificial happiness, it doesn't last long. It'll last when they get that drink or that drug or that dope or whatever, but it's gone. And it doesn't really bring a happiness, it just brings a numbness. Hello? Amen. Praise God. It just brings a numbness. Praise God. It's artificial. It's made up. It's make-believe. But praise God, when the Spirit of God moves into a believer, praise God, He brings with it, praise God, a deep joy in the Lord. There's a feeling. There's a firmness there. There's a compassion there. There's a feeling there that takes up that space that was void for so long. Amen. It begins to give us a soundness within ourselves, a relationship with somebody. Amen. That old bottle of wine, praise God, you can't have much relationship with that. She said, hello, till you get your lips. And it's gone. But praise God, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the motivating factor, praise God, what He's telling us about is the Holy Ghost of God that lives in our heart and walks with us day by day. And when it gets bad, when things get hard, when things get harsh, praise God, we can bow our head and say, Lord God, Lord, I love You and I need You right now. And the Holy Ghost of God swoops in there where you're at, grabs you up, snuggles you into His bosom, and loves you to pieces. Amen. That's the motivating factor that we need today, praise God. The Lord God of our hearts. Because that other's fleeting. But this one is a deep joy that comes from the Lord. Amen. An old drunkard, you know what they do? They do stupid stuff. Amen. Hello. You do stupid. And you get an old drunkard out there. They ain't nothing you can't talk him into doing. Amen. They think they're invincible. They think they have superpower, but they're deceived. They have no power. Most time they can't even, you take that sobriety test, and they tell them to walk a straight line at toe to toe. I can't do that in me sober. Amen. And they begin to walk that line. They begin to try to do that, you know, that they think or do. And they just make a fool of themselves. But not only do they do stupid things, make a fool of them, but have you ever noticed they always seem to hurt others? Yes. Amen. It always comes back to it hurts somebody. It hurts them. It hurts the person that's the drunkard. It hurts the person that's being influenced by the lust of the flesh. But pray God, it hurts everybody else around them. Everybody else is looking for a reason, for help. Amen. Have you ever noticed that the person that's the drunkard, the alcoholic, the druggard, everybody in the family is trying to make excuses for them? Why do you think that is? I'll tell you why it is. Because they're an embarrassment. Amen. Not only do they make a fool of themselves, they make a fool of their family. They hurt everybody around them. And they're an embarrassment. Not only to themselves, but to their family, to their friends, to the ones that love them. Amen. The motivating factor, praise God, to a born-again believer, praise God, is to not hurt others, but to help others. To encourage each other. You can't do that under the influence. Not of alcohol, drug, but you can do that under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The influence of the Holy Spirit, praise God, will make you to where you're a help to others. You'll want to be. You can't help it. Amen. Living, praise as a help to someone else, and living, praise God, not for another drink, another bottle, another good time, but praise God, living to bring glory and honor to God. Amen. Praise God. That's when you start building up points in heaven. You start getting on the good graces of God. You start being filled with the Spirit of God. He becomes the motivating factor. Paul tells us here in the Ephesians. He tells us in Galatians. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 6. He tells us, hey, listen. He said, those people that's in these conditions, these people that's chasing, running our flesh, he said, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, let me just say this in closing, and I'm done. If you're going to have an inheritance, and you know what an inheritance is? That's where, you know, mama or daddy or mama or papa, they work all their lives to try to have something. And parents, we work hard because we want our children and our grandchildren to have more than we had. Amen? Why is that? I'm trying to figure it out. We were blessed. We had a good. We lived in a simpler time. Amen. I mean, I remember when I was 13 or 14, I got a 20-inch bicycle for Christmas. The biggest present I'd ever gotten. Boy, I was in glee. I mean, I was happy. I was a happy youngin, even though it did have one of them big old banana seats on it. Amen. It wasn't the sport model. But praise God, I'm glad God, amen, the Lord had done give it to me. Praise God, mom and dad done bought it for me. Amen. I had that thing. Praise God. What a blessing it was. But God, to God be the glory, and I'm glad for it. But we want to try to give our families more than what we had. But praise God, if we ever want to give them what's right, is give them Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Praise God. Amen. That should be a motivating factor for every one of us. Not to give them houses and lands and things like that. It's good if you can. But I will tell you, they won't appreciate it. Before your body's cold in the dirt, they'll sell it, praise God, and buy something else that they like. But let me just tell you what God's got for them. He'll give them something that'll satisfy their soul. Something they can, praise God, they can give away and still have plenty. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. If I couldn't give my youngs and my grand youngins nothing, praise God, I want to just give them Jesus. I want them to know that Daddy and Papa love the Lord. Amen. Above everything else. Praise God. There's nothing in this world that I love more than Jesus. Because He first loved me. The motivating factor in my life, praise God, is the Lord Jesus. And that force that keeps me going is the Holy Ghost of God that lives in me. Praise God, I want to be found pleasing to the Lord. And as long as I'm listening, I'm focused to Him, He's helping me. And I'm just like you, I'm a human being, I don't always do right, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven that does, and He directs our path, He directs our feet, praise God, puts us where we need to be, and helps us get to where we need to be later on. Amen, for His glory. Being filled with the Spirit of God. That's the motivating factor tonight, praise God, that'll help us not to live in the flesh. But that will help us to live for God so that we might be found in the last days pleasing to Him. That's the most important thing. Amen. Living for the glory of God.